From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Yes, you know how to show a guy a good time. Thank you so much. Now, it is great to be here with you in Nashville, but everybody we've talked to here in Nashville, they've been saying to us now, look, don't just come here and make country music jokes, okay? There's so much more to us than that. And we're like, fine, we get it. So when we have country music legend Vince Gill on later in the show, we'll talk to him about the Greek debt crisis, okay? In the meantime, you can give us a call at our honky-tonk. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. This is Jeff Camaro from Bethesda, Maryland.
Hey, how are things in Bethesda?
Wonderful. We're having great weather for a change.
That's great. Now, is Bethesda, is that sort of a toddling town like Nashville is, filled with music?
Well, it's outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I think it's for what it's worth.
I know. Well, welcome to the show, Jeff. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Mr. Adam Felber is here in Nashville.
Hello, Adam. Hi, Jeff.
Next up, a blogger and a deputy editor for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor, is here. And lastly, an author whose newest book is Alphabetter Juice and a proud graduate of Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Ah, how are you doing?
Jeff, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
So here is your first quotation.
Definitely more lively than Mitt Romney and has nicer hair, too.
That was an Iowa voter who was very impressed with a candidate now rising in the GOP polls this week. Who?
That is Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann, yes, very good.
Yes.
Ms. Bachmann, Michelle Bachmann. She has become pretty much the consensus second choice for many GOP voters, right behind please anyone but these clowns. Ms. Bachmann has risen in part by asserting things that are very provocative but not true, such as the one that the founding fathers all crusaded against slavery and that the Obama administration would be abandoning the dollar in the favor of some leftist currency. She asserted that. So in Obama's America, a copy of the Communist Manifesto would cost you 4 quinoa and an acai berry. In fact, Michelle Bachmann, true to her form, launched her presidential campaign with a little error. She went to Waterloo, Iowa, her hometown, and said she had the spirit of the town's most famous resident, John Wayne. Mm-hmm. She was close. Waterloo's most famous resident was, in fact, John Wayne Gacy. The infamous serial killer.
Who can forget that moment in The Quiet Man where he puts on that clown makeup?
Oh, it's terrifying.
The great thing about Michelle Bachmann is that she doesn't back down. She doubles down on this stuff.
She does. She will not back down, ever.
Like when she said that John Quincy Adams, was a founding father, and and he was like 9 when the revolution started.
he was a founding little boy. Was it
a founding tween? Is what he was. Yeah. He was a founding tween.
Another reason that people like Michelle Bachmann's chances is they consider her a more viable alternative to Sarah Palin. You hear that comparison a lot. So, to using the classic Gilligan's Island analogy. No, listen. Bachmann would, of course, be Marianne to Palin's Gilligan. Here, Jeff, is your next quote.
The question here is, what did James Madison believe about video games?
That was a question asked in oral argument as the subject of violent video games was discussed, we assume for the first time ever. Where?
At the Supreme Court.
At the Supreme Court, yes. Very good, Jeff. That's right. In a decision handed down this week, the High Court said it was unconstitutional to ban sales of violent video games to minors. Surprisingly, the decision was written by that ultra-originalist, Antonin Scalia. His evidence was that children's literature has always featured violence. His descriptions in the decision of the gory parts of the Brothers Grimm tales, for example, wouldn't have been so upsetting if Scalia hadn't obviously enjoyed it so much. They did have to take into consideration what the founders might have thought of video games, and it turns out that they did. You know, they had video games, but they're very, very crude. Instead of like little controllers, you had to have town criers yelling out "left, left, right, trigger, right." And to play Super Mario Brothers back in the day, you just poked Italian immigrants until they chased you. I get you, colonial guy. Your last quote comes from Steve Martin talking to Alec Baldwin on Twitter the other day.
Alec, now we can get married.
Martin was all excited because now he could marry Alec Baldwin or any man, really. Where?
In New York.
In New York, New York State, New York City, the whole thing. In what some are calling a remarkable advance and others the first sign of the apocalypse, the New York State Legislature approved same-sex marriage in that state last Friday, meaning a lot of gay people in New York City and elsewhere in the state just lost their best excuse. Phones rang in stylish apartments and lofts in Chelsea and the West Village over the weekend with mothers saying, well, so, when are you going to make an honest man out of Chad? Oh, we can just see it. You know, all the mothers are going to be so excited. They'll say to the prospective son-in-laws, you know, you're like the son I already had.
But people should be warned about marriage that it's not always going to be gay.
That's true. One thing everybody's wondering, though, with gay marriage, what's going to happen to comedy? Because marriage has provided fodder and jokes since, you know, Adam first said to Eve, stand back, I don't know how big this thing gets.
There you go.
Right? That's like the basis of comedy. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen to marriage jokes now that the standards have changed?
Now they both know how big it gets.
That's true. Anyway, joining us now to help modernize classic marriage jokes, it's the master of the malaprop, one of America's favorite funny men, Mr. Norm Crosby. Norm, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to have you. So, Norm Crosby here. So, Norm, you've heard about the new marriage law in New York. What effect are they going to have on marriage jokes, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's going to make any difference because marriage is marriage. If it's he and she or he and she, what's the difference? I have some gay friends that are married, and they've been together for 20 years. They were just thrilled to get married.
Yeah.
I asked them, you've been together for so long. What's the secret? He said, well, we just made a pact. We would never go to bed mad.
Yeah.
They stayed up once for 7 months.
Really?
And he said the big secret is to keep the romance alive.
Yeah.
He said, I go out two nights a week to drinks and dance and see a show and have fun. He said, I go Monday and Wednesday and George goes Thursday.
Norm, I have a feeling you're going to do fine in this brave new world, am I right?
It's not going to make a bit of difference. I live in Hollywood, Peter. It's about a week ago, two antennas got married at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I mean, the wedding was just so-so, but the reception was...
No. Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
Norm Crosby. Norm, thank you so much. Carl, how did Jeff do in our quiz?
Jeff, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Well done. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Peter. It's been great fun.
Bye-bye. All right, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, big barbecue grills, power tools, muscle cars. Now, thanks to the Housewares division of the Philips Corporation, men have one more manly product designed just for them. What?
Aprons.
No.
I would like a hint.
Well, I like my woman curvy and my creases sharp enough to cut.
Irons. Mm.
Yes, man irons, they're called. True. Mm. Fellas, are you tired of shooting the wrinkles out of your clothes with automatic weapons? The traditional male way? Well, get ready for the man iron. Philip says their sleek black iron, quote, exudes masculinity resembling a premium sports car more than a conventional iron, unquote.
Oh, did you hear about Jackie? He had a midlife crisis and bought an iron.
Yeah. What do you do with this masculine 2400 watt power iron? What do you use for an ironing board? You find a lesser man and do it on his back. That's what you do.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Kerry O'Connor, and Adam Felber. And here again is your host at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You are a friendly bunch. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Matthew Fisher from Arlington, Texas.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
Good.
Now, what do you do there in Arlington?
I work for the police department down in the jail. I'm a detention officer.
Really? You're a prison guard in Arlington, Texas?
Yes, sir.
Is that exciting work?
It's always interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know any given day what's going to be thrown at you, I assume.
No, always something different.
Wow. Matt, it's great to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Matt's topic?
They call me the Hoff.
David Hasselhoff has been an actor, producer, musical innovator, one of the most significant cultural figures of the last two decades. But what is next for the Hoff? Each of our panelists will tell you what David Hasselhoff is doing to follow up on his triumphs on Baywatch and Knight Rider. Only one of these stories is true so far. Ready to play?
Yep.
First, let's hear from Adam Felber.
After conquering stage, screen, and recorded music, the last lively art available has finally fallen to David Hasselhoff with the opening of the new theme restaurant this month in Las Vegas. The House of Hoff, covered in memorabilia and devoted to all things Hasselrific, also features a menu that has a distinctly self-deprecating take on the Hoff's career. Celebrate the greatest physiques in TV history when you order up a Baywatch milkshake. Hasselhoff nods at his fame in Germany with his Reich Pilaf. And, of course, there's the signature dish, the 3 a.m. drunk burger. Quote, good enough to eat off the floor.
The House of Hoff theme restaurant in Las Vegas. Your next story of a Hoffer you can't refuse comes from Kerry O'Connor.
If your first response to the name David Hasselhoff is, I want to lick his torso, then Del Monte Ice Cream has exactly the product for you. The Hoffsicle, a frighteningly realistic replica of Hasselhoff from the waist up on a stick, was created by Del Monte for Ice Cream Week. With the slogan, as smooth as ice. It comes complete with a trademark rock-hard abs, jutting chin, and jaunty jacket. And a stick. A promotional video of Hasselhoff shows him first slurping on his raspberry-flavored self, pronouncing it Hoffilicious. And then passing the unsanitary hunk on a stick to a young blonde woman on the street. No footage is shown of her biting off his icy head. A slightly defensive Hasselhoff has the last word. They will not be licking on me, he admonishes. They'll be licking a popsicle. And it's not weird at all. It's very cool.
The Hoffsicle. An ice cream confection. A frozen confection in the shape of Mr. Hasselhoff's torso. Your last story of a hoffily good idea comes from Roy Blunt Jr.
How will those wacky South Park boys follow their unlikely Broadway smash, The Book of Mormon? According to the pop culture site TMZ, they're planning an even less likely feature film, a loose adaptation of the classic musical 42nd Street, starring David Hasselhoff, in a dual role. That's right, the Hoff will hoof and, of course, sing as Julian Marsh, the aging Broadway director and womanizer, and also as Dorothy Brock, the aging Broadway performer and, of course, woman. By show's end, these two realize that the Great White Way now belongs to kids who have gone out there as youngsters and come back as stars. Julian and Dorothy have also learned that their two hearts beat as one, and they'll settle down together in their old hometown upstate. And so they bring down the virtual curtain with, you know, the grand old number, now called, with a wink, yes, but also with a new poignance, Hasselhoff to Buffalo.
All righty then, here are your choices. One of these things is the next big thing in the life and career of David Hasselhoff. Is it a restaurant in Las Vegas from Adam Faber? It's called the House of Hoff. From Kiri O'Connor, the Hoffsicle, a frozen treat that looks just like Mr. Hasselhoff with his shirt off. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., a movie of the musical 42nd Street in which David Hasselhoff will play both the male and female leads. Which of these is the real next step in Hasselhoff's career?
I think it's the restaurant.
You think it's the restaurant, the House of Hoff. All right, your choice is Adam's story, but to bring you the correct answer, well, let's listen to an advertisement for Hoff's next venture.
Hi, David Hasselhoff here with my new friend. I call it the Hoffsicle.
That was David Hasselhoff himself talking about the Hoffsicle. As gross as it is unlikely, but it is real.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Matt. Kiri O'Connor obviously had the real answer. Two bits of good news, however. You did win a point for Adam.
Yay,
and,
thank you.
And maybe gave David Hasselhoff an idea for his next thing. And the second bit of good news is that you do not have to eat a Hoffsicle. So thank you so much for playing. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we invite on big stars and ask them little questions. If you lose track of how many belt buckles you own, you're country. If you lose track of how many Grammys you have, you are a country music legend. That would be our guest. Vince Gill is a Country Music Hall of Famer. He's got a new album coming out in the fall. Vince Gill, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. All right, Vince, ready to go? How are you feeling?
I'm scared to death.
No, you shouldn't be scared to death. You've faced more hostile crowds than this in one of the moments.
No, I am not I'm not the brightest guy. My junior year of high school was the hardest 3 years of my life. So we know. You know, this being NPR and all, I've lived here for nearly 30 years, and Nashville is a great city for charity.
Yeah.
I figured this will be another in my long list of things that I've done in my career that will, once again, I won't be paid for it.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh.
I spent a long time listening to your music on the internet, and I ended up feeling much more godly, patriotic, and sad. I felt that God loved me, my country would be there for me, and every damn woman I ever known had done me wrong.
So that, yeah, Loretta Lynn said it best. She says, there's really only two things to write about, cheating and God. So I don't get that.
You know, yeah, I understand. So you're there.
No, I like the blue side. I've always liked the sad side of music. You know, the sadder the better. And I grew up and played a lot of bluegrass music, and the songs were somewhat morbid in a sense. You know, somebody's going to die or something bad is going to happen. There was a great songwriter, Townes Van Zandt.
Yeah.
That had had my favorite quote of all time. He says, there's really only two kinds of music. There's the blues and zippity doo dah.
And you weren't interested in zippity doo dah.
I don't do a lot of zippity doo dah.
Now, you came to Nashville a long time ago, 30 years ago, thereabouts?
Yeah, I moved here in 83. My first trip here was in 1974. Made my first record here in 1975, and then moved here in 83.
You're in the Country Music Hall of Fame. You've won how many Grammys? Do you even know?
20.
20. He knows. I underestimated him. Is it? But country music stereotypically is about hard times. You know, the classic joke is, my wife left me, my dog died, my truck won't start. I mean, is it hard to maintain that perspective when you're as successful as you are? Have you written a song like My Mercedes S-Class Won't Start?
Well, I think with anything attached to humor, I think out of the songs that I've written, one was with Rodney Crowell. The title was actually inspired by my father. It's called It's Hard to Kiss the Lips at Night That Chew Your Ass Out All Day Long.
You don't need a song. That title right there will get you in the track. And what is your wife, the fabulous singer Ms. Amy Grant, think of that song, may I say?
Well, she has a good sense of humor, thank God. Yeah. But I do remember the day that I came home and wrote, after I'd written that song, and I got home and Amy was waiting for me, and she said, "Where you been?" I said, "Well," I said, "I was out at Rodney's today, and we're working on a song, and we wrote a song." She goes, "Oh, let me hear it." I said, "Well, I don't really remember it too good. Haven't got it memorized. We're just kind of messing with a few ideas." And against my better judgment, I sang this song for Amy Grant, my
Did
wife.
You really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
One of the more popular Christian singers.
Yes.
Of the time.
And her feelings about it were?
Well, it took a while to make her understand that it was the idea of my father's before he passed away in 97. So it sadly dawned upon me that evidently the song was inspired by my dear mother.
Oh, yeah.
She hates that particular song.
Yeah. We know that you have a pretty clean image, squeaky clean, in fact. And you're also a big golfer. And we heard that to protect your squeaky clean image, you hired somebody to swear for you in the golf course.
Yeah.
You did that?
I was a little arrogant. I was doing really good. And I said, I need a designated cusser.
Really? Wow. So what did you do? How did you find that person?
They're everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
You must have been tempted to write a song about golf at some point or another, though, right?
There's one that was... I was talking... Well, I shouldn't say this, but... Paul McCartney told me never drop names, but...
I'm going to steal that.
Amy and I have the good fortune of this July 4th weekend that we're going to get to go spend it with James Taylor in Massachusetts at a place called Tanglewood. And we were talking on the phone today about songs, and I mentioned that I'd been playing golf, and he said, "Well, there's never been any golf songs." And I said, "Yeah, probably not. There's one that I know of. It was called Golf's a Bitch and Then You Die."
We were heard that you were actually invited to join Dire Straits.
I was.
Really?
22 years ago, and I was too heavy, unfortunately.
Wait a minute. Mark Knopfler, the great guitarist, who's his band, he came to you and he said, "I want you to be in the band." And you said...
"I can't. There's a weight requirement in rock music." I exceeded it just
Did they make you try to fit into the skinny leather pants?
Exactly.
Or they...
So, do you want to see me in spandex, Mark? I don't think so.
One last question. You've hosted the Country Music Awards for 12 years straight?
I did, back in the early 90s.
Really?
12 years.
Wow. I've been known to host some things myself. Do you have any tips for me?
You're doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
Wow.
You got 3 million people listening to you.
I know. But still, that's amazing. The same award ceremony, 12 years. They must have loved you.
It was fun. I had a good time doing it, and... it wasn't hard. I just brought people on, took people off, and cracked a few jokes and went home. It wasn't that tough.
Wow.
Wow, you just made Peter's job sound easy.
I know. I guess you're right. Well, what the hell then? Let's just keep going. Vince Gill, we are so delighted to have you with us here in Nashville. We've invited you here to play a game that today we're calling...
Yeah.
Carl Castle, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Vince, meet Vincent. Vincent Price, that is. We're going to ask you three questions about the career of Vincent Price. Get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on the home answering machine. Carl, who is Vince Gill playing for?
He is playing for Kerry Burgess Brown of Nashville.
He's here, maybe? All right, you ready to do this?
Yes, make a fool of me.
All right. Vincent Price grew up in a distinguished family. What was his grandfather's claim to fame? Was it A, he ran St. Louis's most successful and busy mortuary business? B, he invented baking powder? Or C, he single-handedly killed 100,000 bison, a record at the time? Ooh.
I thought it was Fisher Price toys all these years.
Oh. I would love it if that were true.
Wouldn't that be great?
Like, here's Vince Gill. Oh, yeah, well, everybody knows Vincent Price's fortune comes from the Fisher Price toys. Did you know that? No, it's not true. I don't think it's true.
I'm going to go with that one from now on.
Right.
Baking powder.
You're right. His grandfather invented baking powder. It was called Dr. Price's Cream Baking Powder. Big product in the late 19th century. Made millions of dollars. Lost it all.
Huh.
True. All right. You got one right. Next question. Vincent Price starred in a lot of horror movies, as you know. Some of which, though, they were pretty obscure, including which one of these? A, Bloodbath at the House of Death. B, Scream Screaming a Person. Scream. Or C, an educational film for the U.S. Marine Corps called What's Really Scary? Gonorrhea.
Sorry. A.
You're going to go for A, Bloodbath at the House of Death. You're right. Very good. That was great. It was a 1983 British horror spoof. You ever seen it? You seem pretty confident. No?
No.
No, okay. Last question. Does he even go for perfect? Like many celebrities, Vincent Price lent his name to products and services, including which of these? A, the Vincent Price Collection of Fine Art from Sears Roebuck. B, the Vincent Rice Cooker. Or C, the Vincent Price Home Blood Glucose Monitor.
I just like that one. I'm going with that one.
The Vincent Price Home Blood Glucose Monitor.
Ooh. No.
No? You're not going to go with that?
Okay, I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A, the Vincent Price Collection of Fine Art from Sears Roebuck. Yes, indeed! Oh! Well done! Vincent Price, those of you old enough to remember, he was a famous art connoisseur, and he curated a collection of art that you could buy at Sears. Carl, how did Vince Gill do in our quiz?
Vince had three correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Kerry Burgess Brown. Congratulations, Vince.
Well done.
So I got to ask you.
You ask me. Yeah.
How did the saxophone player do last week?
So Bill Clinton? Yeah, Bill Clinton. Known primarily for playing the sax. He did. He got all three, and he didn't mess around. He just knew them. It was really weird. Mm. Yeah.
So you're saying I could be president?
I'm saying. Vince Gill is a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, a legend here in his home Nashville. Vince Gill, thank you so much for being with us today. I love it when they let their head down. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, as you know, Greece is facing a severe debt crisis. It's under intense pressure from the rest of Europe and the IMF to raise some money. They have a plan. They're going to do what?
Sell off all their stuff.
Exactly right. Everything must go. It's like any neighborhood yard sale, but with tear gas and riots. Mine have those. In the hopes they can curb their debt by privatizing parts of the country, they're selling the post office, roads, miles of coastline, old Olympic venues, that outdoor furniture set they never use, and the letter Theta.
How about the Parthenon? Can you get the Parthenon?
Well, oh, yeah.
This island, used by a goddess once, thousands of years ago. Now it's yours for $49.99.
Pretty much. I think they should go for naming rights. The Greek state at Invesco Field, you know.
The Arcoopolis.
One thing they could do to generate income is change their name to Crisco.
That's true. Adam, recently leaked files show that one of
I did not.
No. Adam, recently leaked files show that one of the world's most recognizable organizations has been considering a rebranding initiative, starting with changing its name. Who wants a fresh new image?
Al-Qaeda.
Yes, indeed. Ooh. Al-Qaeda, not just for attacking infidels anymore. In a document recovered from his Pakistan compound, Osama bin Laden said he felt, you know, like the name Al-Qaeda was missing something. He wanted something a little more forward-thinking, modern, synergistic, something that combined the concepts of global jihad and good times, you know? He wants to bring in the coveted 18 to 30-year-old murderous fanatic demographic.
Right.
Bin Laden wrote in a recovered document, quote, maybe something like Taifat al-Tahwed wal-Jihad could do the trick. That translates to, okay, I can't believe it's not terrorism.
I would have gone in a whole different direction and called it something like the cupcake truck.
It'd be easier to get more recruits.
Cupcake Ida. Yeah.
That would work out badly for other cupcake truck operators.
Kiri, for years, scientists have been working to make robots more lifelike, and this week we learned about a man in London. He made great strides toward that. His robot may not have human emotions, but it does have a simulated human what?
Is it above the waist?
It is.
Is it a face?
No. Evan, if they can convince the folks it's secret to develop a product strong enough for a man, but made for a robot.
It has a simulated human underarm?
Yes, it does. The world's first robotic armpit. His name is he's a British design student. His name is Kevin Grennan, and he's interested in synthesizing human sense. And so therefore he created the first robotic armpit. Ooh. And this could actually
That's
be a
one
benefit.
Of the worst designed parts of the body.
Well, this is what it does, though, is it, as we all know, exudes odor, and actually human odors play an important role in sort of subconscious communication.
Yes,
smell.
Mostly turning you off to
no,
the
No, that's what you think. Here's a theory as to how this will work. So let's being you're operated on someday in the future by a robot surgeon. They're working on that sort of thing.
Okay.
If it has a familiar scent exuded from an armpit, then it will make you feel subconsciously more at ease at home with it.
Oh, I see.
Or at least you won't notice the pain because you're going, good Lord, that thing has an armpit.
That's not something I actually look for, you know, when I'm on an operating table. Like, smells like my doctor didn't bathe.
Yeah. Roy, airlines are concerned that passengers aren't paying attention during safety demonstrations, so they're trying new tactics. Air New Zealand, for instance, has started showing safety videos that feature what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. No, I was. I was paying attention. Feature frontal nudity.
Yes.
Oh, nudity, really? Yes. Oh, right.
So something flotation device. Yeah. Sorry, I had to get there first, even though I didn't have the whole joke.
And if you just reach under your seat, oh my! No, so you're on your Air New Zealand flight. And you're ignoring the safety video, like all jaded travelers do. But you glance up, and you notice that the flight attendant explaining the seatbelt, right, that she's got goosebumps on her uniform because she doesn't have a uniform. It's painted on.
Oh!
This video, which you can see on the internet, has apparently had great success in making people finally look up and pay attention to the safety video. Although, when quizzed later, if they remembered, for example, where the life jacket was, most travelers said, yes, it was blocking my view.
I wrote a song title once, my seat back tray table and you know what are in the full upright position over you.
Yeah. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924.
My Lord.
I've been doing this show for a long time. That has never happened.
Huh.
We've never actually made the dog start barking. All right.
It's a new demographic for us.
There you go. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Krista from Albany, Oregon.
Hey, how are things in Albany, Oregon?
Things are finally getting sunny.
I'm so glad to hear it. I know what it's like in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. You can go a long time without seeing the sun.
Yeah.
When it comes out, are you terrified that there's a great orange ball in the sky?
Not quite.
We
all run out in our shorts, even if it's only 60 degrees.
Well, welcome to the show, Krista. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly two out of three times, you will be a winner. Ready to go?
I am.
Here is your first limerick.
The restraints on our men might need tightening, for statistics are really quite frightening. Coming in from the rain takes a wise female brain, so it's mostly men struck down by
lightning.
Right. According to AccuWeather.com, 82% of people who get struck by lightning are men. Why? Well, in the words of one expert, women are from Mars, men are dumb. For example, women leave a sporting event when they notice the sky is filled with deadly electric bolts. Men do not. They just go out waving their metal golf clubs in the air.
It's a lightning storm. Let's grab a couple beers and go out there.
Exactly. In an effort to get men home and safe, some sports stadiums are now advised to phrase severe weather warnings like this: "Hey, we are out of beer." Here is your next limerick.
On stage, we might witness a baked leer. A bong hits the insight that makes clear. It seemed that the bard hit his hookah quite hard. Yes, Potts, what inspired Will?
Shakespeare?
Yes, indeed.
Really?
This is the theory. A South African historian says that Shakespeare may have written his plays while stoned. Huh. He discovered pot residue on pipe fragments scattered around the playwright's home and garden in England. This discovery explains so much, of course, like the famous line from Hamlet, "To be or not to be, what is the question?" Hey, is this a dagger I see before me?
Wow!
Here is your last limerick.
My customers let out a fat purr. Your lady will know where it's at, sir. I think feline remnants do make lovely pendants. It's jewelry made out of
cat fur?
Cat fur, she said with horror. Yes! British cat owner Flora Davis has started selling cat hair jewelry. Yeah, I know.
Lovely.
In any event, be careful. If you see someone with a ball of cat fur stuck to their sweater, just don't reach over and pick it off. It might be a $200 brooch they bought on Etsy.com, or it might be a hairball. Either way, don't touch it. Carl, how did Krista do in our quiz?
Krista was perfect. Peter, three correct answers. So,
whoa.
Krista, you win.
Well done. Congratulations, Krista. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Your correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Adam Felber has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Kerry O'Connor has 3. Roy Blunt Jr. has 2.
Wow.
Well.
What was that? I thought I got more than that.
Apparently not.
All right.
Roy, you're in third place. You're up first. Here we go. Okay. Fill in the blank. EPA officials began monitoring radiation levels in New Mexico after wildfires threatened the laboratory at blank.
Los Alamos.
Right. President Obama awarded a Medal of Freedom to blank on his last day as Secretary of Defense.
Robert Gates.
Yes. On Monday, a federal judge blocked a portion of a Georgia law cracking down on blank.
Cracking down on Florida.
On illegal. They can do that because they're on top of Florida. No, illegal immigrants. Moviegoers attending the Tree of Life at a Connecticut theater were warned blank.
warned not to take it too seriously.
No, they were warned, no refunds if you don't understand the movie. On Thursday, Prince William and Kate Middleton began the first leg of their vacation in blank.
They said that before they got married, they had a great longing to go to Canada. Lots of people have a different great longing before that.
But yes, Canada. North America, Canada. A woman in Colorado says she believes that the Martha Stewart table she bought is unsafe because it blanked.
Because it spun around several times and rose into the air.
No. She believed that it might have been unsafe because it spontaneously exploded.
Huh.
Nancy Passarella.
As opposed to saying, wait a minute, I'm going to explode. I'm going to explode.
Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling it. Nancy Passarella and her family were sitting around the glass top patio table when it suddenly reached its expiration date. According to Passarella, quote, all of a sudden we hear this loud explosion and the table proceeds to disintegrate.
Huh.
Martha Stewart has addressed the problem with a feature in this month's Martha Stewart Living magazine, the best handkerchiefs for blotting your facial wounds. Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy had 3 correct answers for 6 more points. He now has 8 points and Roy has taken the lead.
Yeah.
All right. Well done. Kiri, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. The Senate canceled its 4th of July recess a day after President Obama chided lawmakers for not reaching a deal on the blank.
Debt ceiling.
Right. MSNBC suspended political analyst and Time magazine writer Mark Halperin for using a crude word to describe blank.
The president.
Yes, of the United States. 5 women in Saudi Arabia were taken into custody after they defied a law making it illegal for women to blank.
Drive.
Right. A Houston TV reporter was caught on tape blanking while covering an oil fire.
Smoking.
Yeah, smoking. Ooh. A Florida billionaire paid $2.3 million in an auction for the only authenticated photograph of notorious Western gunslinger blank.
Billy the Kid.
Yes, Malaysia Airlines announced this week that because of complaints, it will no longer allow blanks in first class.
Children. Babies.
Yes, babies. A New York man attempting to dispose of evidence by throwing his marijuana out his sunroof was caught when it blanked.
It landed in the police car.
It did. It landed on the hood of the police car behind him.
Wow.
Did you really?
I did.
Sean Schmidt tried to chuck the evidence, but his baggie flew through the air and landed on the hood of the police car that was tailing him. New York is going to make an example of Schmidt with a TV campaign. The theme is going to be, these are your drugs. These are your drugs in the hood of the police car behind you. Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Kiri had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 17 points, and Kiri has the lead.
Well done. All right, so how many then does Adam need to win?
7 correct answers.
Jeez. All right. Whoa. So, Adam, this is for the game. NATO officials say that a militant group linked to Al-Qaeda was responsible for this week's attack on a blank in Kabul.
Hotel.
Right. In his second corruption trial, a jury in Illinois found blank guilty on 17 of 20 counts.
Blagojevich!
Yes. In order to avoid default, the Parliament of blank voted for an austerity plan.
Greece.
Right. According to people close to him, Treasury Secretary blank is considering leaving his post.
Tim Geithner.
Right. Runway 4 at JFK Airport had to be closed temporarily this week because it was crowded with blank.
Turtles, of course.
Yes. Copulating turtles. On Thursday, the Federal Election Commission approved comedian blank's plan to create a super PAC for the 2012 election.
Stephen Colbert.
Right. NASA announced that July 8th would be the date of the final launch of the blank program.
Space shuttle.
Right, audiences watching a mock Old West gun battle in South Dakota got a shock when blank.
Somebody got shot.
Yes, because the actors used live bullets, you know.
Ooh.
Actors like to keep their performances fresh. The actors at the Dakota Wild Bunch show are no different, so someone decided to mix things up a little by using live ammo. The wound suffered would have been okay, but then they insisted on keeping the realism going by using only 19th century medicine. Here, ma'am.
Poured some whiskey on it.
Yeah. Carl, did Adam do well enough to win?
He needed 7 correct answers. He had 8 correct answers.
Oh!
Well done! Adam Felber is this week's champion.
Well done. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Not bad for a Yankee, Adam.
Pretty all well guesses.
Now, panel, what'll be the big country hit about this week's news? Adam Felber.
Well, you know how much people love songs about economics, so it'll be a sad ode to our fiscal crisis entitled The Debt's on the Ceiling and I'm on the Floor.
Kiri O'Connor.
In honor of gay marriage in New York State, a poignant gay love song. I'd marry you, darling, but I'd have to leave the South.
Mm.
and Roy Blunt Jr.
I'm still Wiener.
Well, if we hear any of those songs, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks to Adam Felber, Kerry O'Connor, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to all of you fabulous people here in Nashville. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week.